Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
He wants as many people to come to Christ. So what is the vehicle for us to be able to give that gospel? It is us.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Pastor shares with us a brief overview of 2 Peter today in a message he calls The Bible at 30,000 Feet, a bird's eye view of 2 Peter.
You can summarize all of 1 Peter very simply as the Christians were suffering. And Peter now, like a good pastor, is coming alongside of them and giving them all the encouragement and group hugs he could and verbal kudos to say, listen, you can keep going. And then a couple of years later, he wrote 2 Peter. And this book right here that we're going to again fly by is Peter's audience is the same in his second letter. But the fact is his theme and his purpose are different. And what the difference is that persecution from unbelievers can be hard, but defection within the community of believers can even be more devastating. And Peter comes in and writes this note and sends it out to these believers, said, listen, you better be aware. And he mentions a number of areas. Chapter 1, he talks about Christian character. Look at your Bibles in 2 Peter 1. He talks about the great divine promises, verse 3 and 4. He says, there are great divine promises that I've given to you. And on the basis of those divine promises, he says, you do all diligence. I believe it's about verse 5. He says, you take diligence and you add to your faith. You have to do your part in adding to your faith. And that's going to shape the character in your life. And that's what he goes through. And if you don't, look at what happens in verse 8 of 2 Peter 1. This is what he says is going to happen. If you give diligence, verse 5, and add to your faith these qualities, then result is, verse 8, these things are in you and abound. They're going to make you that you'll neither be barren, or in other words, ineffective, nor unfruitful. But if you don't add to your faith these things, verse 9, then you're going to be blind, you cannot see afar off, and you've forgotten he was purged from his old sins. And to add on top of that, he said in verse 12 through 15, three times, he says, you remember, verse 12, remember these things. Verse 13, I'm going to put you in remembrance. Verse 15, I want to put you in remembrance. And then Peter said, verse 16, I was an eyewitness of all of this that the Lord himself had done. And so with that in chapter 1, he leads to chapter 2 and deals with, he says, these are false prophets that are going to come among you, and they're privately bringing in damnable heresies. They're denying the Lord that even bought them and bringing themselves swift destruction. He's saying, verse 2, many are going to follow their pernicious ways or deceived ways, and he starts nailing down the judgment that is going to come. And then notice, if you would, he begins walking through all of those things that those false teachers are going to be giving out. And then he comes to chapter 3 and he says, this is, verse 1, the second epistle. I'm writing to you, and he noticed, to stir up your pure way of remembrance. I'm stirring up your pure minds by way of remembrance. The warning for believers was clear. And very simply, he says, number 1, be not forgetful, or do not forget. And then he says, be diligent. And then he says, beware. Look at chapter 3, and we'll close with this. But I think it's worth stating that if you summarize 2 Peter, these are the three very simple key challenges that I would want to leave with us as well as the emphasis of 2 Peter. And this is how he says in verse 1. He says, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. You know what he's saying? Remember. Remember. And then he ends up making the statement when he says again, verse 3, knowing this, listen to this, that they're going to come in the last days. And so he's saying, listen, I reminded you that there are going to be people, listen, that know, verse 3, they're scoffers, they're walking after their own lusts. And here's what they're saying. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of this creation. They're saying uniformitarianism. Listen, the things that always took place are going to continue to take place, and there's no kind of catastrophe that's going to happen. He's not coming back. In verse 5, this they willingly were ignorant of. They were choosing to be dumb. And so Peter, look, these are some powerful statements. Notice what he says, whereby, verse 6, the world then was being overflowed with water, it was perishing, and the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment. You know what he's saying? Listen, there was a catastrophe. It's called the flood. And the first time God destroyed the earth, it was by water. And he said, I'm never going to do that again. I'll put a rainbow in the sky, but there's going to come a day that's not going to be by flood. It's going to be by fire. And so when people start denying any kind of catastrophic event called the flood, the best explanation it came up with is what? Evolution. But what do you do with physical evidence of things that happen? How in the world do you end up denying the fact that, go to the Grand Canyon, you see this strata, layer upon layer upon layer, and in the middle of that strata, they end up finding skeletons of different creatures that are vertical, and the strata is going horizontal. Now, how do you explain that? How did that happen? How do you end up going to one of the tallest mountains in the world, and they're finding seashells up there? Now, how did that happen? So Peter's saying, listen, there was a catastrophe, and now there's going to come another catastrophe, and this is how he says it's going to happen in verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, chapter 3, 7, which are now by the same word are kept in store, and there's going to be a judgment that's going to come. Let me skip down to verse 10. But the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens are going to pass away with a great noise, and the elements are going to melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein are going to be burned up. He says, seeing then all these things are going to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conversation and godliness? You know what he's saying? Listen, there's going to be, our world someday is going to be literally burned up, or the idea is uncreated. And somehow, whether that's an atomic explosion or whether God himself says cease to exist and the world explodes as we now not know it, and God then ushers in, and eventually we're going to be studying, a new heaven and a new earth. And Peter says, by inspiration of the Spirit of God, you know what our response needs to be? Our response needs to be, verse 12, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord. Those heavens are going to be on fire, are going to be dissolved, and the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. And it's an awesome thing to realize that God says, listen, I'm telling you what's going to happen. So what does our response need to be? This is where you end up finding it in verse 14, that wherefore, beloved, he's saying, you look for such things. And he says, you be diligent. You be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. And Peter now identifies that the Bible that you have in your hand is Scripture. He even makes the statement, look as you would in verse 16, also Paul, in all of his epistles, verse 15 and 16, speaking in them of things which are some things hard to be understood. You know what Peter's saying in Paul's writings? There's some things he's saying that are hard to be understood. Have you ever opened the Bible and read and thought, I don't understand this? Well, you're in good note, because Peter said the same thing about Paul's writings. He even said, listen, which they that are unlearned and unstable, they're arresting them. They're taking them out of context, and they are also the other scriptures to their own destruction. And you know, it's a great reassurance that Peter's saying, listen, these are the things, therefore, verse 17, beloved, seeing you know these things, beware lest you also, being led astray from the error of the wicked, you fall from your own steadfastness. And this is why he says, don't forget, you be diligent, you be aware. Now, I say all this because I skipped a verse or two, and there really are the reasons why, when people say, well, when are these things going to happen? Why aren't these things happening? And notice in 2 Peter 3, 8-9, this is what Peter's response was. I'm going to tell you, he says, why, don't be ignorant of this thing, because one day is as the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. Peter says, listen, God's timetable is not our timetable. And on top of the fact, he's not willing, verse 9, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. All should come to repentance. You know why the Lord's holding off the event of the rapture, that secret, before he unveils himself in the second coming after the tribulation? Because his interest is for as many people to come to himself as would be willing to. He's wanting to give us many opportunities. He's not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want people to end up going to a Christless hell prepared for the devil and his angels. He wants as many people to come to Christ. So what is the vehicle for us to be able to give that gospel? It is us. And Peter now, really prophetic-like, says, listen, I'm on my last days. Peter, as he finished this, within months, some would suggest, was there in Rome. Knew that in as an old man, he was going to go to a place that others were going to take his life. You find it in John chapter 22, or John 21, when Jesus himself said to Peter, Peter, you're going to be an old man. He says it this way in John 21, verse 18, verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and you walked whether thou would, but when you're old, you shall stretch forth your hands, and another is going to gird you, and is going to carry whether thou wouldst not. And he's saying, way back 30 plus years earlier, when Peter now, who said, I knew the Lord, he heard Jesus say, listen, Peter, you're going to be an old man someday. When Peter was arrested and he was there in jail, he was fast asleep. Why? Because he knew, Jesus said, I'm going to be an old man. I'm not an old man yet. And down the road he goes. At some point he realized, I'm an old man. I can relate to that. He said, I'm an old man. And sure enough, here in Rome, right after penning those letters, he finds himself getting arrested. He and his wife, they both are arrested. And tradition says, as we can trust, they find themselves now both standing before the edict of Nero. The tradition says that they took his wife first, as he watched his wife being laid out, hands over that cross. And tradition says that Peter said to his wife, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. They are crucified in front of his own eyes. And then ultimately, they began to take his hands and outstretch his hands. We know he was an old man. As they took those nails, began driving them into his hands, he said, please, I ask for one favor. I'm not worthy to be crucified in the same way as my Lord. And that is by tradition then. They turned him upside down and crucified upside down. The blood not going out of his feet, but the blood coming out of his mouth. Because he had now an opportunity. The first time he denied his very Lord. The second time publicly stating, I believe this. I believe this. I believe this. This is worth life and death. He gave you a purpose. He might not call you to a life of being crucified physically, a horrible thing to see happen. But he certainly calls each one of us every day to take our cross daily and follow him.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Herron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.